Now, friends, the great theme of 1 Thessalonians is the rapture of the church. The great theme of 2 Thessalonians is the revelation of Christ, and that's his coming to the earth to establish his kingdom. And we find Paul in Thessalonica, where he'd been less than a month. He taught these two great themes, and the thing that impresses me is the practicality of these doctrines. Now, today, all schools of eschatology, that is, of prophecy, have got this teaching way out in left field, where it becomes sort of a extraneous sort of thing, that this is something that it's nice to talk about and argue about, but it's not too meaningful. You can't get it geared into life, and it doesn't seem to walk in shoe leather down here. Paul is certainly showing that it does. And in chapter 3, the theme here is the coming of Christ is a purifying hope. Change your life. Affect your lifestyle if you hold to the rapture of the church. That is, the imminent coming of Christ for his own. It'll affect your life, and it doesn't. You really don't hold it. It's just sort of a theory. It's a philosophy for you. But when it affects you. Now, that's the heart of this epistle. Beginning here with chapter 3 and going through the fourth chapter, verse 12. The very heart of this epistle is that the coming of Christ for his church is a purifying hope. Now, Paul waited, you remember, over in Corinth for a report to come from Timothy and from apparently Silas and Dr. Luke, others that were there. Now he says here, as we open chapter 3, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now apparently, Paul was with some of the brethren in Athens. And what actually happened was that these men that he was waiting for were actually Timothy and Silas. And I think others in the party were probably with Paul. And he says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So he apparently sent all of them back, and that's when Paul spent his time alone there. Now, the wherefore is a rather important word that opens this chapter. You remember he talked about, in the last one, about the family relationship that exists in the church. He'd been a mother to the church. He'd been a father, and he was a brother. And as a brother, he loved them, you see. He led them to the Lord. And he says, as he closed the last chapter, he says, for ye are our glory and joy. When? At the coming of Christ, if you please. And that word coming is parousia. Now, I know that Paul used these terms for the coming of Christ interchangeably. But there are times when Paul puts a real emphasis. And parousia means here the appearance of Christ. And that was naturally to believers. And here, that would be the time that believers would be rewarded. And this wherefore ties it back into the last chapter. It was because of his affection for them and his frustration in attempting to come to them, but Satan had hindered him, you see. And Paul had to leave Thessalonica so quickly that there were many unfinished teachings and doctrines that he had not been able to develop fully. And we're going to come to one of those a little later. And he not only longs to return, but he wondered about the future of the believers there. And Paul longed to comfort them. In other words, he demonstrates the thing he mentioned at the beginning, a labor of love. Now, friends, here is an example of love in action. Love is not affection or just a nice comfortable, warm feeling around your heart. Love seeks the welfare of another. That's the way you express your love for anyone. You seek their welfare, and you'd actually jeopardize your own life for them if you love them, you see.